When a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanses himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle spiritual form. Purport. The Lord is called Shukshman because he is pure spiritual consciousness, without any tinge of material energy. If one chants and hears the holy name and glories of Krishna with great sincerity, there is immediately a transcendental effect. We can immediately see the spiritual world and pastimes of the Lord if we fully surrender to the process mentioned here. A blind person feels perpetual gratitude to a doctor who restores his sight. Similarly, we sing Shakshudhana Dila Jai Janme Janme Prabhu Sei. The bona fide spiritual master, the representative of Lord Krishna, restores our spiritual sight, and thus he is our eternal Lord and Master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskacharye Tadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Narananda, can you give me a Bhagavad Gita 9.3 in English, if possible? Hare Krishna, I always feel so sorry to send devotees outside who have restless children. Please tell that young devotee that I feel very sorry, but it is not possible to discuss. See, now Sundarananda just looks at the book, the whole attention is on him. Will he find it or not? So if someone now is loud, then we have no attention. And so therefore, I guess no one has any idea what we spoke of this text, is because the child was present in our mind. This is about hearing and chanting about Krishna. When one does this, one can actually perceive Krishna, see Krishna. The example has been given in the text of a person whose eye is damaged or diseased. If you apply a certain ointment, then you can see. So in the same way, by hearing and chanting, we can actually see the Lord. And then in the purport, it says, that we are very grateful to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, because he has applied this Shakshudhana Dilojay, this ointment, which can help us to perceive and see something. So therefore we are very grateful to him. This was the text. Now I want to go deeply into our subject matter. The subject of today's talk is very much related to seeing Lord Krishna, or perceiving Lord Krishna. I think you will agree with me that in our spiritual life, it's so important to have some perception about Lord Krishna, especially we Westerners living in this materialistic civilization, having so many sanskaras which are very difficult to overcome. We need some sign of Lord Krishna which encourages us on our sometimes difficult spiritual path. We need something which helps our faith to grow. And usually the faith becomes very strong if you see some proof for your faith. That's why Srila Prabhupada requested us to sometimes go to the holy dhams in India, where it's so much easier to become inspired in Krishna consciousness. I remember last time when we were in Vrindavan, we saw Achyuta Priya, is your name? Achyuta Priya Prabhu, on the road. Somewhere we said, come with us, Achyuta Priya, let us see Krishna. And we both decided that this was a good idea, so we went into one temple, Syama Sundara temple, I believe, Radha Syama Sundara it was, and we had a fantastic darshan. I think we arrived just when the arati was going on or was starting, I forgot. It was such a nice darshan. The devotees were there chanting. The deity looked so wonderful. It is a deity who was worshipped by Syamananda Pandit, the learned spiritual master of Rasikananda, and it had such a powerful effulgence, and to just see the Lord in Vrindavan increased our faith, isn't it, Achyuta Priya? We saw, wow, wonderful, and we became very inspired in Krishna consciousness, and we said goodbye to each other in wonderful transcendental happiness. This faith, becoming strong in faith, is important, and Prabhupada wanted us therefore to go sometimes out of this Western atmosphere, which is not a good place for developing faith, and go to the holy dhams where Krishna is in the atmosphere. Here in the West, there's not so much Krishna in the atmosphere. If you look carefully, yes, if you look with the eyes of faith, yes, you can also feel Krishna in the atmosphere, but it requires some amount of faith. Now, in Sanskrit, Shraddha, which we often translate as faith, is also described with another word, Vishvas, Vishvas. Vishvasa eva jayate. It means something like firm conviction. Very firm conviction. Srila, let me say, in the Brahma Sanghita, it is stated that your realization in Krishna consciousness is dependent on this type of Vishvas, of firm conviction. In other words, if you are very convinced of Krishna consciousness, you will most probably get a higher realization of the spiritual truth as if you are, as when you are not so convinced in Krishna consciousness. Then you won't realize Krishna in such a deep way. A devotee who is on the way back to Krishna needs to have this faith. If he does not have strong faith and strong realization in Krishna consciousness, he will leave the path. And it is a fact that in our missionary activities, about 80% of the people who join us will at one stage leave the path. The reason is because they could not come to the stage of firm conviction, and therefore their realizations in spiritual life are very, very small, very meager, and cannot nourish their spiritual life in the long run. Krishna expresses this sometimes not so this discouraging fact, not discouraging, this realistic perception in the ninth chapter, verse 3, where he talks about devotees who are not faithful, who do not have this firm conviction and therefore not much realization in their spiritual life. He says, Ashada dhana purusha damas yasya parantapa aprabhyamang nivartante mrityu sangsara vartmani. Please note here, my dear devotees, that Krishna talks not about non-devotees. He talks about devotees. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. In other words, these devotees with a very weak faith, they have come to the path of transcendental or spiritual life, but because there is no vishwas, no firm conviction, no realization in the heart, they leave this path, the spiritual path, and return. They go back from where they have started. They return to the path of material life. Prabhupada speaks about this. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, that means they are there, they have a seeker and a devotee, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada says about his own experience in the Krishna consciousness movement. He says, we have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. Mostly the hidden motive is, I found out, a very socially understandable motive. They feel lonely and they can't find a place in society. So then they look at the devotees with the hope that they can become, that they can find a place. And I've discussed in Austria, there was a girl who said to me, I feel very dissatisfied. And I said, yes, can I help you? She said, I don't believe so because I need a husband. And I said, yes, this most young people feel like this, and it seems natural to find someone. But then she said, see, I am a little sattvic, and it's very difficult for me to find someone in Austria. They are all just so materialistic. And then she described her plan. She said, I will go into a temple and stay for some time and find a husband there. This is not a totally spiritual motive. It is a normal social motive. Someone normally needs to get married and wants to find someone in the on the same wavelength, and then, yes, in a temple such people come. They are little sattvic, they're vegetarians and so on, so that's the most likely place for such people to find a partner. The discotheque is not the right place. So this is a typical example, and I was just thinking this is a normal human situation. It's not transcendental, it's not good and it's not bad, it's just human. But it's not a spiritual motive. So here we go. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well situated, or we can say in this case partner-wise a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, this... it's all right. Thank you. This faith passes through different phases. It is there in the beginning as what Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes to be komal shraddha, very weak, soft. It can easily be erased. But as the devotee goes on in his or her spiritual life, it is expected that this faith becomes firm and strong. Finally, it arrives at the stage called nishtha. Nishtha means it's fixed or it's firm. If a devotee cannot make this journey from a weak faith to firm faith, it is 100% sure that he will go back to the path of birth and death in this material world. Rupa Goswami has given us an idea about the stations in this journey of faith. First comes sadhu sangha. Devotee has some type of faith. The beginner's faith will have sadhu sangha. Then he engages in bhajan and spiritual activities, and then he experiences, hopefully, if he is doing it correctly, that the unwanted things leave the heart, which are called the anattas, and then only he is rewarded with this firm faith, and then with this high taste and almost ecstatic ruchi in his life. Devotees, if you would like to find out who is a good devotee and who is a beginning devotee, who is a fixed devotee, you would not look at their positions. You would not even look if they have Brahmin strings or not. You would not look into if they are sannyasis. And sometimes we know there are even those who are in the position of a guru who have faith in the beginning, but something happens on the way to them. You can't even look at this, at the positions which they take in a spiritual society. The only way to find out the level of someone's advancement is something which is very difficult to find out for another person. It's the degree of shraddha, of faith in someone's heart. And it's very difficult to find out. Therefore it is said, it's not our business really to look at someone and try to find this out, because it is so difficult, it's so private. It is so personal. Mostly the persons can't, even we can't find out what is our faith unless and until we come into a situation which I will describe a little later, the hard moments of faith, when it's difficult to have faith. So let us not make a judgment very easily about a devotee, because that's very difficult. It's internal. Krishna knows. And if there is a good relationship to the spiritual master, a personal relationship to one's spiritual master, the spiritual master may know about this. If the disciple chooses to reveal his heart and if he has the feeling this relationship is important to me, but outside of this, Krishna and the spiritual master, who it's very difficult to know this, even for our own selves, about this faith. Only when the faith gets tested, and I will talk about this now. Yes, now comes this time. I will talk about the hard moments of faith. May I find out if you are with me at this stage of the discussion, and ask you a question. What do you consider a hard moment of faith? When doubts are coming? Yeah. What is a hard moment in faith? I think this is a very general and very, you know, relevant observation. Yes, when doubts come, yes, then it's very different. Could you describe such moments?
When the situation outside becomes very difficult to continue.
Yeah, when the situation outside is maybe not even encouraging, maybe discouraging. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When one loses everything, money, relationships, health even, health is a heavy one. Mm-hmm. That's a hard moment. I think we all know these moments, isn't it, Mangala? Maybe when a desire which we had, which was very important and dear to us, was not fulfilled by Krishna. We lose, what God are you? You're not fulfilling my desires. Mm-hmm. Any other hard moments?
Material energy is offering us some facilities.
Yeah, here comes something which looks which is of a different category. When we may get some money or some fame by the material energy, then we might just this is very good, this is much better than spiritual life. Your son. Very good. Paul. Yes?
I have sometimes a problem when I go for preaching, practice or something, and then I come across some person who is in some other faith or Maya Valley.
Oh, yeah.
And they are maybe more convinced of their things than I am in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And then they catch you and they start preaching that philosophy.
Wow. Stop, it makes so much sense to me. Yes. I will repeat. this, and we meet someone who is more convinced in their own faith in something than we are in our faith, and they start to preach to us, and it's and they have so much conviction, and maybe a Mayavadi or so. Yes, I know. I used to fear the convinced Mayavadis also very much. Because I was a Mayavadi myself. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we can all sympathize with these things. And they are very realistic challenges to our spiritual life. I would like to talk about a very general but very poignant. Poignant means it really hits the black right on the spot, so to say. See, for every conditioned soul like we are, there are two types of activities. One is called conditional and the other is called constitutional. These are very philosophical terms, and I wish to explain them a little bit more. Conditional activities are those which are in connection with our physical existence. On one level, they mean eating, sleeping, and all the things we do to maintain our body. On another level, they also mean working, doing some profession to earn our money, to keep our livelihood intact. I have heard that many of our devotees from the Ljubljana temple are now in the Grihastha ashram, and they work the Radite, yes. I'm trying to get my Croatian out again. And then, simultaneously, there are, parallel to this, the spiritual activities, or we can say better, the constitutional activities, like chanting, reading, worshipping Krishna, having a darshan of Gonitai. You know, these constitutional activities. Now, ideally, they can go on parallel. That I do my physical activities, my conditional activities, and at the same time, I have time for my spiritual activities, my constitutional activities. But very often, it so happens that we find little time for our constitutional, our spiritual activities. The work is just so, takes on so much time, or I may be sick and my body requires more attention and more care, and so on. And at that time, there is certainly a hard moment of my faith. What will I do now? Will I keep my spiritual practices intact, or will I just give them up? And at that time, my faith really in spiritual practices is very, very important. I want to give you an example of an Indian devotee who was very, very poor, but who somehow had given the promise to chant 64 rounds a day, and to just, this was a case of a sannyasi, who just preach. So they were very poor, no vats was coming, no money was coming. Now this one day, a god brother of his came, and you know, it is customary that when you get a guest, you feed him, take care of him. But this devotee was so poor that he just thought, what can I do? My dear Lord, now this is the situation. I give it totally into your hand. You must do something. I cannot stop my chanting. I have faith that this is, that you have said in the Gita, you will maintain your devotees with everything they need. So I'm now very poor. You must take care of this. He continues to chant. Then, one moment later, he saw a little sparrow. Laszlo, a little Laszlo, who had a package in his mouth, and the sparrow buttery threw the little package down on the floor. And when the devotee looked, what was in the package? It was some rupees to buy some bananas and fruits for his godbrother who was hungry and who had come. The devotee continued in his faith, although there was a problem. The conditional activities were very disturbing, so to say. He was very poor, and so on. Another example is Arjuna. Arjuna wanted to be a devotee, worship Lord Krishna, pray to Krishna, serve him in the ninefold practices of devotional service. He certainly didn't want to go to war. I think we can sympathize with them, with Arjuna. Do you like to go to war? No. I also never went to war, not even to the military, for military training, and I'm very happy about it. Just yesterday, or was it the day before yesterday, Shishtikada and myself went in the Austrian mountains, and there were many soldiers who played war, you know, with their black faces, and they had these funny heads so that no one could see them, and they were crawling in the dirt with their rifles and their guns, and we were just joking with them because they played so well, like little children. And but you know, to really go into a war is something else. It's very serious. You can easily lose your life, and so brutal and so cruel and so disturbing. So Arjuna, activities which he had to do as a warrior, you know, he was by his mana warrior, were not at all very, very pleasant as far as his constitutional activities. They didn't go parallel. Arjuna couldn't chant his rounds couldn't chant rounds or do kirtan while he was on the battlefield. He had to, be in war. It was very disturbing, and as we all know, he wanted to avoid this. Like anything, he wanted to not fight. And Prabhupada says it's a good sign that a devotee doesn't want to do this. But in this case, these two types of activities did not go parallel to each other. And this is a very difficult moment of your faith. You need to see how you can go on in your spiritual life even when it's a little difficult. I feel many devotees come into the same situation. They do not live in the temple any longer. They have to work outside or go to school, and sometimes it doesn't work on very smoothly. The constitutional and the conditional activities run in two different directions. Then we are forced to practice detachment from our plans and our things. We have to see how we can go on. Now, it's a very, very interesting thing that Krishna, usually will test a devotee before he gives him something wonderful to do. He will test his faith, like in Arjuna's case. Now, Arjuna was in this difficult situation where his duties and so on as a warrior, these conditional activities, really, he felt they were threatening his whole spirituality. But because Krishna wanted him to do this, he felt he needed to surrender if he had any faith in Krishna and perform his conditional activities in a spiritual way as an offering to Krishna and make them constitutional activities. So very often this is also what is happening in the life of a devotee. He all of a sudden finds out, well, I have a body and I have a mind, I need to marry. Or the devotee finds out other things where he feels I must take care of my existence a little better, and so on. And then some problems appear in his spiritual life. But this is a deep spiritual thing, that Krishna will test the devotee before he gives him something great, a glorious position. It is described here one Chinese man describes this in a very nice way. When God is about to confer a great office on any man, he first disciplines his mind with suffering and his bones with sinews with toil, with difficult work. Huh? He exposes him to want and subjects him to extreme poverty. He confounds his undertakings. By all these methods, the Lord stimulates his mind, hardens him, and supplies his incompetencies. I want to express it in simple English. It's also difficult for me to say English. What it means is, before Krishna gives you some breakthrough in your spiritual life, before Krishna gives you something wonderful in your Krishna consciousness, he will first of all test you. He will discipline you. He will make you a little hard, strong inside. He might send you extreme poverty. Because Krishna wants to see at this moment, what is this person doing? Is he only going to see me in easy circumstances? Or is he also maintaining his faith when things get a little hard? Don't think this is cruelness on the part of Krishna. It is necessary for us, because we all will go through very hard moments. We will go through death, which is a very difficult situation. Sometimes devotees think, why has Krishna made this life so difficult? What type of Lord is he? Please do not ask this question only in this way. You have to ask yourself, why have I made it so difficult for me? Why have I left the Lord and and come to the material world? You can't complain. Oh, the material energy is so heavy and so strong. The Lord has described this world as a place of suffering. There is danger at every step, my dear devotees. The danger is not only physical. The danger is emotional. So easily we can be hurt. So easily we can be discouraged. So easily things can go wrong. Even if you are on the top of the world, that means in a very high position in your life, if there's only one person who is close to you, who says to you, you are not very nice, you are a very bad person, and then everything falls down in our life, everything becomes useless. So if the Lord doesn't harden us, make us strong like steel, we will not go through the difficult situations of the material world. We will never go through the disappointments and keep our faith. We will never go through death and keep our faith. We need to be strengthened by the Lord. And it's usually seen before a breakthrough happens in your spiritual life. You will be tested a little bit. This is usually what is seen in the life. I know that I'm speaking to an audience who is very young in spiritual life. My dear devotees, please do not become discouraged now that I will be tested. You will also be tested in material life. But there it's much crueler. There you have no... you have no shelter. In spiritual life, Krishna is always there giving you shelter when you finally turn to Him. That's the difference between material life and spiritual life. If you are a non-devotee, it will be hard for you. And if you are a devotee, you are hard. It will be hard for you. As a devotee, Krishna helps you to meet the hardness of life, the difficulties of life, if you keep your faith in Him alive. Now, after having said so much, I will make one last point. The last point will be that to develop this very strong faith in Krishna is something which has to happen in steps. Once Prabhupada was asked, when can I go back to Godhead? How long does it take, you know, in this sense? And Prabhupada said, you can go back to Godhead in 1 second if you have strong faith. But this type of faith is extremely rare. Most probably we are not on this level. Maybe one or two of the devotees here. For most of us, we have to go in different steps. The first step to develop our faith is to develop some knowledge about Krishna consciousness, about spiritual life. We need to read, we need to discuss, and more than anything, we need to reflect what we have heard and develop our own understanding. If you just hear, but you do not discuss with others and you do not reflect deeply about what you have heard, most probably you will not have any understanding. This is my frustration as a lecturer. I've lectured so much. I've worked so hard to prepare my lectures. But I know that much more important to hear some new type of, to hear so much knowledge is that the devotees start to discuss about it and reflect about it in our own in their own lives. So therefore, in some of my lectures, I do not give more points of knowledge. I just try to help devotees to reflect on the things they know already by asking questions, by looking at it from different angles. See, knowledge which is not reflected, where you have not deeply thought about it, what it means in your life, is often theoretical and cannot help you. Therefore, it said, first you need to, the first step on the journey of faith is to develop knowledge, and the second step is to meditate about what you have heard. You need to deeply meditate. What does this mean? Reflect about it. Remember it when the times come where you need the knowledge. The next step is you should try to renounce some of the fruits of your work. Radite, for instance, you should understand, I am a part of Krishna, let me give him the fruits of my work. Sometimes our devotees are collecting Lakshmi. This is very good. But if you want to help a person to give it in good understanding, you should help him first to understand Krishna consciousness. You should help him to reflect about Krishna consciousness. And then you can ask, please give some donation. The next step is work for Krishna. Do something. Don't be passive. Don't be lazy. Engage your senses in some good work for the Lord. The next step in the journey of faith is follow the rules and regulations without diversion. It's a very high state. And the next step is remember Krishna always with your mind and your intelligence. These are the steps which Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. I will go the other way around. He says, first Arjuna, please remember me always, put your mind and your intelligence into me. Then he says, if you can't do it, follow the rules and regulations without diversion. If you can't do that, then work for me. If you can't, you follow? I think it is very important that we talk about these things, because in our movement we always want the highest, Hare Krishna, and sometimes we get nothing. Sometimes we have to situate ourselves on the level. Yes, we want always to remember Krishna, put our mind and intelligence in him, but that's a very high state of Raga Bhakti. Spontaneous devotional service. Now many devotees from all over the world, they think, I want the highest. I get now into Raga Nuga Saran. Yoo-hoo! This typical Western mind. I think it's much more helpful to see where one actually is and engage himself on that level. Then the next thing, all devotees think they want to be lifelong celibates, and then they try to do it, but there's not the level. They need a mush or they need a janya very much, otherwise they're feel like in a desert, emotional desert. So they try to keep the brahmachari life or the sannyas life. We have also people who are not really, you know, happy in sannyas life. They try to put it on, and then they have so much problems. Better to find out where you are and do what you can do for Krishna. It's not bad to do this. It's natural. Maybe some of us, for them it's much better if they go to work and give some donations. Maybe that's their level of spiritual involvement. Yes. Let us be honest with ourselves. Let us situate ourselves where we are, and let us not forget the goals of Krishna consciousness. But my point here is, there's a danger if you try to get too much, and if you don't get it, then you lose all your faith. Hare Krishna. These are some, this is now, I'm half through my notes. Hare Krishna. I think we have reached the time limit. Do you have some questions to what we have discussed so far? Faith is exclusively resting on one person. That's very good if that person is Krishna. Because Krishna will never disappoint us. Other people can disappoint us quite easily. Prabhupada, he said something very nice which she will like. Written it down somewhere in my very big notebook. He says, sometimes, I don't know if you are a parent and you have a child, let us assume someone has a child. We expect something from our children, and when they grow up, they go in their own ways, and we are frustrated. Better is to accept Krishna as your son. That is the whole philosophy. Become serious and make your relationship with Krishna according to that desire, and you will be happy, perfectly happy, never to be cheated again. So, yes, let us develop our faith in Krishna. Other people have their own developments, their own histories, and they may be sometimes with us, but then leave us. The books are explaining that we are all floating on the river of life. Sometimes we come together, and then we are separated again. This is the life in this world. So with Krishna, you will never be separated from him, Hari Bol, if you develop that type of faith. I've answered your question a little differently, I know. Yes, any other devotee? Yes? Yes. I said it's very difficult to understand the level of faith of someone, and therefore it is not so good to judge others. At the same time, we do need association and have close contact and understand the other person and be understood by another person. See, when you look, first of all, association is very, very important. That we all know, and we have heard many lectures about this. I don't need to repeat this at this moment. When you have association, Rupa Goswami says you should look for association which is more advanced than you. So
So here it comes. Who is more advanced? It's very difficult to find out. Who has more faith than me? You should look for someone who is more advanced than you, someone who is more who's sympathetic to you, who you like and who likes you, and who is of a similar temperament as you are. This is the three types of things we should look when we want association. Now, there is a little way to find out that association which strengthens your faith is usually someone who's more advanced than you. I have also another experience. Sometimes when I'm with very, very, very doubting people who have so many doubts, my face goes like, zip, very high. I never want to be like you. This is very clear to me. And I really need to take shelter in Krishna. This you cannot tell this to anyone because they will become totally hurt. But this is how we sometimes feel. Don't we have this? We meet someone who is so miserable and doubt. Is there a God? Is there no God? Is there a soul? Is there no soul? Then we just think, Hare Bol, it's so easy. Why do you make it so difficult for you? But in general, this is an extraordinary, almost eccentric case. In general, we will see who has more faith by how we feel afterwards. Do we feel encouraged in Krishna consciousness, or do we feel discouraged? And then sometimes I've seen in devotee association there's some type of pleasure when you hear bad news. Have you noticed that in yourself? Somehow there is some type of pleasure when you, oh God, did you hear about so and so? And you think, I hope it's bad what I hear now. And then you go like, wow, fine. No one can make it. I'm very glad that I can remain happy, that I can remain weak, and so on. Hare Krishna. No. This is a type of demoniac, remnant of our bad psychology, that we feel good when others also suffer. But this is not spiritual, this is not encouragement, this is just this is very unfortunate that we have such a side in our heart, but it is not what we think is spiritual encouragement. So to bring it to a good point is you should see when your faith gets stronger, and then you can see that this person may have more faith. Obviously, if you see a very faithful devotee, you can also make that judgment. There are some devotees who have so much faith in Krishna. Ooh. So much faith. It's just so impressive when we meet them. We feel like, oh, one day I want to become like this. Sundarananda Gopal. Yes, one day it has to be there.
My question is,
when we have such experience and we don't have so much confidence in ourselves, there could be some kind of doubt which cannot be which we cannot so easily overcome. And my experience is there's in such a situation when you even lose the enthusiasm
for what?
For doing
anything. Anything in spiritual life. Yes, and I know about this, and as far as I'm concerned, I have really observed this now for many years, and I've come to a conclusion. You have to see if it works. What I have seen, the reason why devotees lose their faith is not really that they lose their faith in the Krishna conscious philosophy that I have seen. They always say, well, I know this is the highest. The reason is that they are not situated properly and they feel dissatisfied as a result of this. And then they do the next step. They want to find the reason why they are dissatisfied. And it's usually either the guru, he is a rascal, or a bad person, or the ISKCON movement. It's first the ISKCON movement, and then the guru. These are the two people who they don't like when they are dissatisfied, the devotees. And the reason why they think like this is because they have not really learned to take on the responsibility for their life in their own hand. That's usually the first reason why they joined. They wanted someone to take care of me and help me and develop me. But life simply is not like this. You have to live it on your own. So this is what I have seen, and the cure is quite, it is difficult, but it's simple at the same time. The devotees need to find a position in their life where they can be satisfied. It's so important that the seventh canto says, a devotee who is not satisfied is like a pot. A brahmana, the seventh canto talks about the brahmana. Like a devotee who's, or a brahmana, sorry, who's not satisfied is like a pot which has a hole. Everything which is in there goes. I think the Prabhupada saw this also in his life. He saw that 50% of his work was not yet done because we can't offer the devotees a social net work at the moment. It's simply not possible. It's not developed. It's something we are too young, or we are not expert enough, or whatever, as a society. And I think it's now very, very important, high time, that we understand that here lies one of the difficulties of our preaching in the West. We have to make it very clear to the devotees that you need to find your place in life on yourself. We can't help you. I personally don't think this is a bad thing in itself that we can't. You know, life is, you have to live your life on your own. It's, who can help you to situate you? Only someone who has money. We don't have this. And who has places for work which you like. This is very difficult to find also. But we don't have places to work which everyone likes. We have a pot washer. This is only, you know, one out of a million likes to wash pots for the rest of his life. We have puja. This is very also a very you need to have. If you do it for a long time, you need to have a shraddha like Pancha Jangri and Jananivas from Mayapur. You You know, we have very. So therefore, I think it's we have to tell our the people to whom we preach, please. There will be a time when you need to situate yourself in your life. Do your Ausbildung, your whatever Ausbildung, education, so that you can find some place of work. Don't run away from something which is very suitable at this moment. And I think we should offer the devotees a time in our temple which is like an inspirational time in their life, a very good experience for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, however long they want to do this, where they can learn selfless service to Krishna, where they can learn a disciplined life, and so on. I think this is the experience which we have. If we go on to tell devoted young people, you will be taken care of by ISKCON for the rest of your life. Everything will fall into place. It is simply not realistic. It is idealistic, but it is not realistic. I think in Croatia we come to this in a very natural way, where the congregational preaching is quite developed. I do not know so much how it is in Slovenia, but I can imagine that it is also in everyone's mind that we must do this. But we also always need some fixed up brahmacharis who are dedicated, inspired, enthusiastic, who like kirtan, who like to associate on a brahmachari level. We need also such brahmacharinis, and we should encourage our devotees that please, dear devotees, come for some time in the temple, take part, do some service. But also know that most probably you will marry after some time, and then you need to take care and be on your own feet economically. But if they are not, if they are not satisfied, for instance, a brahmachari who needs to marry and does not find someone, he is in a bad situation. A woman who wants to marry and is not, then everything you tell to such a person is don't talk so much high philosophy, I need to marry. You know, this is the only thing, the only wavelength the person can receive information. Just like a hungry person. If you go to a hungry person, let us have an enthusiastic program now. The hungry person says, I'm so hungry, when is prasadam? Don't think about prasadam, it will be taken care of by Krishna. You know, it doesn't work. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Sundaranana.
Is it necessary, because it's very often situation like that, in this situation that we are finding out about our position in society and life, is it necessary to compromise spiritual standards? Because I have, for myself, I have great fear of this. Although by intelligence I can understand that it could be also part of spiritual education or anyone's spiritual education. But somehow it's very difficult for me to accept that there must be some compromise of spiritual.
It's a very difficult question. I think where the question could come up is following the no illicit, you know, this.
Not that phenomenon also, but the quality of practicing.
Yeah, okay, if you want to make it, let us avoid the hard one. Don't laugh. It's this is a personal. Is it a personal question, or is it very difficult for me to know where? Let me make it uncomplicated. It really depends on your taste and spiritual life. And I feel I'm from the old times on your promises. If you have given promises during the time of initiation, you should know that this initiation will work when you keep your promises. If you have some difficulties, I mean, not you, Sundarananda, but if a devotee has some difficulty who gave the promises, you know this, chanting and the four rules and regulations, then the devotee should ask himself, why do I have such difficulties? What is, how can I plan my life in a different way so that the same difficulties are not there? Usually the devotee just needs to situate himself properly. I'm saying just. But every person in the world has to do it. We are no exception. Every young person needs to find the right situation. We can't run away from this duty. So then it should be possible, when you are not so unsatisfied, to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. See, now devotees very often view the promises as a burden. But why not see it? It's so nice to chant. It's so, how do you say, I have such a great chance in this life to become Krishna conscious. I have so much fortune. I have been initiated into this sampradaya, into this ancient tradition and school. I have the mercy of the acharyas are over me. If I just continue with these simple spiritual practices, why not view it from this way? But I know devotees who are in this difficult situation. My private understanding is devotees are very normal human beings. It's very rare to find a spiritualist amongst the population of the world. This is my conclusion. A spiritualist cannot imagine to not glorify the Lord. It's just, it comes from his heart. But maybe some of us are not so spiritual. This is the only conclusion we can draw. Some of us feel we must be more careful with initiations, so that devotees that many devotees take the initiation because of social pressure. I must also have a name. I must also be part of the group. I must also be Brahman. I must also be Guru. But it's not internally, has not matured enough. They have not gone through any test where they could see themselves, how committed they are and how much faith they have, and then they give promises which they can't keep later when the tests come, and then this problem comes where they feel guilty if they break the promises, and then they have to find someone who is bad, and they no one likes to admit that he is a bad. Then they find the guru is bad, or the ISKCON is bad, and so on. Feel we must be a little careful. Many of us from the God brothers feel, to encourage them slowly. Yeah, these are all realistic subjects. I want to close the lecture now. Now, I think in our lecture, we are at a moment where we feel very realistic. Please remember, this is the first of two lectures. Sunday morning, we will go. We will try to remain realistic, but be also very optimistic and idealistic. It will come. But I am in the half of my lecture, so now we know the main points. I will summarize for you. Faith is very, very important, and to develop it, there are different stages. To develop knowledge, then reflection about it, renounce the fruits of work for Krishna, follow the rules and regulations, remember him always. These are natural stages which the Lord has explained in the 12th chapter. Tomorrow we will come to the come to a little spurt of psychology. This will be very interesting. And I will also talk about what we can do to develop more faith in our spiritual life. Some very nice points will come out there, and in this way we will become very inspired. This evening I want to invite all of you to come, and please bring your friends in Krishna consciousness and your other friends as well, because it is a good opportunity to bring new people. The lecture will be quite digestible. It will be a more easy subject, and will be pilgrimage, and we will show the slides from Mother Ganga, which will purify everyone who sees them. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gonitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.